Dear friends,
Bachlobo Abatandekayo,
liebe Freunde. This morning, we will look at what Hazrat Inayat Khan, the teacher who inspired the building of this temple, had to say about friendship. Why friendship? Might sound like a very worldly concern. Don't we come to a temple to learn about something more esoteric, like inspiration, meditation, prayer, or maybe God? Yet, we heard the Buddha say, friendship is the entire holy life. Hazrat Inayat Khan, who we sometimes call Murshid, which just means teacher, said, if a person has learned the manner of friendship, he need not learn anything more. He knows everything. A quick note on the language you will hear. Murshid often used male pronouns for universal insights. It was a sign of the times. It was 100 years ago that he gave these talks. It is worth keeping in mind that the senior leadership of the Sufi movement in his lifetime was all women, which was very unusual for that time. His language, a little bit less unusual. Before we delve into Inayat Khan's words this morning, a short anecdote about a Cape Townian Sufi. You might know her. She immediately fell in love with Hazrat Inayat Khan's message and loved attending these services. The candles, the scripture readings, the talks, the music, it all felt like a warm bath. Everything she'd been waiting for, all her life. Yet, after the service, she used to gather up her belongings, put them in her purse, and head straight out the gate for her car. Rediscovering religion at this late age was one thing, but hanging out and making small talk with the weirdos that the Sufi movement attracts, that was not a productive use of her Sunday. Remember her, she's going to come back. So why did Inayat Khan think friendship was so important? In a nutshell, friendship is a playground to practice being a beautiful, harmonious, open, and compassionate person. He called it the art of personality. Let's look at what he said. Friendship is a word which we all use in our everyday language, and yet it could take one's whole life only to realize its meaning. A person begins his spiritual accomplishment by learning how to be a friend. Friendship itself teaches him sincerity, gratitude, empathy, tenderness, and appreciation. Essentially, it teaches you to become the kind of person who is a joy to be around, who is pleasant, respectful, compassionate, and loving. Or what we in South Africa might call Ubuntu. To hear Desmond Tutu describe it, he sounds an awful lot like Inayat Khan. Ubuntu means I am human through my relations with others. It speaks of social or communal harmony. Ubuntu speaks of warmth, compassion, generosity, hospitality, seeking to embrace others. You must do what you can to maintain that great harmony, which is perpetually being undermined by resentment, anger, or a desire for vengeance. Remember the Zoroastrian scripture that we just heard read so beautifully. Whatever words and deeds are noblest and best, teach me. Through the love of fellow man, through search for truth, make my life express the yearnings and the prayers of my heart. Make my life express the yearnings and the prayers of my heart. Isn't that all we can wish for? And, as we hear this morning, becoming better at friendship is one way to get there. Back to Inyat Khan. Have you noticed how friendship brings beauty into one's life? A friendly person gives one a feeling of warmth. In other words, an atmosphere of life. One is always glad to meet a friendly person in a shop, in a factory, in an office. Don't we recognize this as we sit here? Do you remember that time that you stood in a queue at Home Affairs or at the bank? And when you finally get to the front, what difference does it make if you are met with a smile? Genuine concern for your situation. Those are the moments we remember and that we feel special and cherished. The first lesson on the spiritual path that one has to learn is the manner of friendship. Once that is learned, then all other parts of the spiritual journey will become easy. He's not saying the spiritual journey is easy at all. He's saying friendship is so hard, yet so important, that if you get friendship right, everything else is a breeze. Someone went to the great Persian saint Jami and asked him if he would accept him as a disciple on the spiritual path. The saint asked him, "Have you loved? Have you learned the manner of friendship?" He said, "No, not yet." The saint replied quickly, "Then first go into the world again and learn friendship before you come back to bother me." There are three principal things to be understood in connection with friendship. We are now back to Inyat Khan's words. He really liked making lists and numbering them. The first is understanding without words. If there is no understanding between two persons, words are of no use. They may talk and talk and discuss, and it will only go from bad to worse. For argument will never end. Can argument bring about understanding? Never. Argument only increases argument, and so one can go on and on till two persons turn their back upon one another. Let's read that again. Can argument bring about understanding? Never. That's more important than it might seem. He's not saying occasionally. He's not even saying rarely. He's saying never. Keep that in mind the next time you're arguing with someone. Though, of course, as good Sufis, we never do. The Jewish scripture, a friend loveth at all times. Not some of the time. Not even most of the time. The Christian scripture, be ye kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving. Or from Inyat Khan's own Gayan, reproach no one, hold a grudge against no one, bear malice against no one. The Hindu scripture, assemble, speak together, let your minds be all of one accord. The place is common, common the assembly, common the mind, so be their thought united. Back to Murshid's words. The next thing, we're still working on the list, the next thing is a disinterested attitude. Every little thought of profiting by a friendship means its destruction. It can never develop into a real friendship. It will only develop into a business relationship. Such a relationship can never be called a friendship. There's a beautiful hadith from the Islamic tradition. The Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said, there are people from the servants of God who are neither prophets nor martyrs, yet the prophets and the martyrs will envy them on the day of resurrection because of their closeness to God. The people asked, a little bit confused, tell us, O messenger, who are these people? Muhammad replied, they are the people who love one another for the sake of God, without having any mutual kinship and giving property to no one. Their faces will glow and they will be sitting in pulpits of light. Don't we want to sit in pulpits of light? Back to Inayat Khan. When there is a discussion between friends, and one says, I have done so much for you, I have suffered so much for you, sacrificed so much, I've had a difficult life for your sake, then he is entering into business. He wants to keep a ledger of what he has given in the form of love and kindness and goodness and sacrifice. This is worth noting. We are encouraged not just to avoid thinking of friends in terms of material transactions or business, but also emotional transactions. And we all recognize those. But I did this for you. The third important thing, back to the list, is overlooking. What is that? Friendship is maintained by recognizing that a human being is imperfect, that he has his faults and shortcomings. There is always something in him to overlook, and if we go on doing so, there is always the possibility that he may develop those very qualities which are lacking, for we may add to our friend qualities that are wanting in him. We may add to our friend qualities that are wanting in him. Not by pointing out their shortcomings, but by overlooking them. In the Quran this morning, we heard, "Let not those who are possessed of means and plenty among you resolve to withhold their bounty. Let them forgive and overlook. Do you not wish God to forgive you?" From the end of this Christian scripture, "Forgive one another, even as God, for Christ's sake, hath forgiven you." So now we hear why we must overlook. Treat your friends like you would like to be treated. Not just how you would like to be treated by other people, even though that is part of it, but how you would like to be treated by God. Don't we all secretly hope God won't put too much weight on our transgressions and is very impressed by our attendance at universal worship? Then Inayat Khan sums it all up for us. Is there anything in life which is more delicate than friendship? Taking care that no words should hurt the friend, that no action should harm him. That, and this line is beautiful, that not the slightest shade of coldness may fall on his heart. It is most difficult. But if a person has learned the manner of friendship, he need not learn anything more. He knows everything. He has learned the greatest religion, for it is in the same way that one will make a way to God. In closing, let us revisit the Buddhist scripture. Ananda, who was one of the Buddha's closest disciples, Ananda approached the Blessed One and said to him, "Venerable Sir, this is half of the holy life. That is good friendship, good companionship, good comradeship." "Most definitely not, Ananda," replied the Buddha. Ananda was a bit worried. "This," said the Buddha, "is the entire holy life." Now remember our Capetonian Sufi from the beginning of the talk, the one who would gather her belongings and head out the gate. Years of reading Inayat Khan's books, attending these beautiful services, and lately some work in what the Sufis call the inner school, have opened her heart to these weirdos at the temple. Now she drives to the temple on a Sunday morning, already looking forward to the tea gathering afterwards. They are weirdos, for sure. But then again, so is she. And where in our rushed modern life does one meet like-minded people? In particular, like-minded people from totally different paths in life, different generations, different faiths. That small get-together around a table in the Sufi temple garden has become a highlight of her month. So, not welcome to our universal worship service. You are welcome to stay after the service for tea. But welcome to tea at the temple. We quickly had a service first, but now the real work may begin.